Okay, so imagine this. You open up, say, Spotify, one of the biggest music places on the planet, right? And you look for a band, a really well-known one, Grammy-nominated duo, and their entire history, all their old music, it's just gone. Not like a technical glitch, deliberately pulled. That's what just happened with Sylvanesso.
And you shared the sources on this. It's quite the story. Sylvanesso making a very deliberate, very pointed exit from Spotify.
Exactly.
But like you said, this feels bigger than just one band. So our mission for this deep dive is to really get specific. Forget the usual streaming complaints for a second.
Important, but not the focus today.
We need to find the absolute core reason, the specific financial and frankly moral driver behind this artist exodus. Who else is involved? And what does this whole thing tell us about artists trying to take back control in this digital age?
Okay, let's set the stage first. Sylvanesso, that's Amelia Meath and Nick Sanborn, electropop duo. They're not some small underground act. They are, pretty major.
Definitely well established.
And they didn't just leave. They timed this departure perfectly with dropping new music, a single called WDID. And significantly, they're releasing it themselves on their own label, Psychic Hotline. It feels like a statement in itself, doesn't it? Like, if we can't align with your platform's ethics, we'll build our own platform.
That's exactly it. The timing is crucial. It's not just a protest, it's a pivot. They're tying their new creative chapter directly to this ethical stand. Usually, artists might pull music, issue a statement.
Maybe.
Yeah, it often feels separate.
But here it's all one strategic move, business and morals intertwined.
And their official statement.
Wow. It pulls no punches. It's not vague stuff about royalties or discovery algorithms, though, those issues are still out there.
But this is different.
This is drawing a very sharp ethical line. I've got the key quote right here. They said they can't continue to put their life's work in a store that, in addition to all its other glaring flaws, directly funds war machines.
Directly funds war machines. That language is incredibly specific and loaded.
Totally intentional.
And that specificity matters because when you trace that phrase, it doesn't just point to like some general corporate policy. It leads right back to Spotify's founder, Daniel Ek, specifically his personal investments.
Okay, so this is where we really need to dive deep for you, the listener. What exactly is this funding connection? Who is funding what?
It's very direct. Ek runs a venture capital firm separate from Spotify called Prima Materia.
Prima Materia. Got it.
And its focus is on, well, what Ek calls deep technology, including national security stuff. And Prima Materia made a significant investment in a company called Helsing.
Helsing. And they are.
They're a European defense contractor, but not like building tanks necessarily. Helsing is all about artificial intelligence, AI for military and intelligence purposes.
Okay, so AI-driven defense tech.
Exactly. Advanced machine learning applied to military systems. So for Sylvanesso and now others, the line gets crossed right there. The platform distributing their art is financially linked through its founder's other company to military AI development. They're basically saying, look, our music, our creative work is generating value within an ecosystem where the founder is simultaneously using his wealth to back an industry military AI that we fundamentally oppose.
That's a really fascinating angle. It shifts the ethical debate, doesn't it? It's not about the platform's content policies, like we saw with, say, Neil Young.
Or royalty rates, which is the more common artist complaint.
Right. This is about the founder's personal external investments. It really begs a question: should a platform be judged by the private ethical choices of its founder, even if they're unrelated to the platform's core business?
It's a huge question. And think about the commitment here from Sylvanesso. Pulling an entire catalog isn't just clicking delete, it's complex.
Must be a nightmare logistically.
And then immediately setting up their own distribution channel. This new track, WDID, it's the flagship for this new era on Psychic Hotline.
And they're pushing physical media too, you mentioned.
Yeah, a 12-inch vinyl release coming January 9th with a B-side Keep On. It emphasizes that direct connection. Remember their last big album, No Rules Sandy, back in 2022? That was on Loma Vista.
Right, a traditional label structure.
So this move to full self-release, self-management via Psychic Hotline. It just underscores how serious they are about this moral boundary.
Okay, but the really big picture here, the reason we're doing this deep dive, is that Sylvanesso, while maybe the highest profile name, they aren't alone in this, are they?
Not at all. The sources make it clear this is part of an ongoing trend. Sylvanesso is the latest, maybe the most commercially significant artist in what's described as a string of departures. that really kicked off back in June.
Okay, so who started this? Who are the first movers?
That credit seems to go to the experimental group Deerhoof.
Ah, Deerhoof. Okay.
But what was really interesting there was that their label, Joyful Noise Recordings, actively supported the decision. They backed the catalog pull.
That's significant. A label agreeing to leave a major platform.
Absolutely. It showed it was possible, logistically and ethically, even for artists with label ties. It kind of set a precedent.
So Deerhoof opened the door back in June. Who else has walked through it since then?
Well, the list has been growing steadily, and it covers a pretty diverse range of respected, independent-minded artists. You've got Hotline TNT.
Okay.
The legendary post-rock band Godspeed You, Black Emperor.
Wow, okay. That's a big one, too.
Then there's the incredibly prolific King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh, yeah. Pulling their catalog must have been a job in itself, given how much music they release.
Right. It makes a statement just by the sheer volume of work being removed. And also the experimental artist, Juju.
Juju.
And one more to mention is Massive Attack. The sources indicated their removal was planned or intended, though maybe still in process when the news broke.
Massive Attack. Given their history of political engagement, their potential involvement adds even more weight.
Definitely. It shows this isn't confined to one specific scene or genre. It spans different eras, different styles of music.
And crucially, they're all pointing to the same thing.
Overwhelmingly, yes. The shared grievance is that specific connection. Daniel Ek's investment through Prima Materia into the AI defense company, Helsing. That seems to be the unifying factor.
It really does change the conversation around streaming protests, doesn't it? It's moved beyond just pay us fairly or don't host misinformation.
Exactly. This is a moral objection to the flow of capital originating from the platform's founder. It forces artists to ask themselves a really tough question. Is the massive reach of this platform worth it if we feel ethically compromised by the founder's other business dealings?
Okay, but let's push back on that a little. Be the devil's advocate. When an artist pulls out of Spotify, their music usually stays on Apple Music or YouTube Music or Tidal, or maybe they push fans to Bandcamp.
Sure, diversification.
Right. But realistically, almost any large corporation or tech platform likely has investments or ties that someone could find ethically questionable if they dig deep enough. So is pulling out of just one platform truly achieving ethical purity? Or is it more of a symbolic gesture? Sylvanesso themselves even said something like, no solution is perfect.
That's a fair point. And it's probably a mix of both symbolic impact and genuine strategy. Symbolically, it sends a clear message. Strategically, by moving to their own label, Psychic Hotline, they are taking more direct control.
Reducing reliance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're betting that their dedicated fans will follow them, will make the extra effort to buy directly or use a platform like Bandcamp. It's choosing that direct, arguably more ethical connection over the passive mass market streams. It is a step towards greater autonomy, even if it means less convenience for the listener.
It definitely shifts the power dynamic, or at least tries to. And speaking of power dynamics and Spotify leadership, there was another bit of news that dropped right around the same time all these artists were leaving. Seemingly unrelated, but interesting timing.
Oh yeah, what was that?
The company announced that Daniel Ek himself is transitioning roles. He's moving from CEO, Chief Executive Officer, to Executive Chair.
Interesting. So stepping back from the day-to-day CEO role.
Seems like it. Now, the sources were careful to say this was apparently unrelated to the artist exodus.
Right. Correlation doesn't equal causation.
But the optics happening right when his personal investments are under such a specific, intense spotlight from artists, it's hard not to notice.
Yeah, you could interpret that move in a couple of ways. Maybe it's just normal corporate evolution, happens all the time. Or maybe it creates a bit more distance for him from the operational controversies, lets him focus on broader strategy.
Which could include things like Prima Materia.
Potentially. Moving to executive chair could arguably insulate him slightly from direct fire, while still keeping him deeply involved at the highest level. It's speculative, but the timing is definitely noteworthy.
So we've got this fascinating situation. A founder moving to a more strategic, perhaps slightly more removed role, just as a significant group of artists are very publicly rejecting his platform based on his other strategic investments. It really highlights that tension point between art, platform power, and personal finance.
Absolutely. So if we boil down the key takeaway from this deep dive for you, the listener, it's really about the specificity and the trade-off. This isn't just artists being vaguely unhappy with streaming.
No, it's laser focused.
It's a targeted rejection of a specific financial link. Eek, Prima Materia, Helsing, the AI defense contractor.
Mm.
And it shows certain creators reaching a point where they're willing to sacrifice the undeniable convenience and reach of a massive platform.
The sheer scale of it.
For what they see as moral integrity.
Yeah.
They're essentially saying, we'd rather have fewer listeners who find us through channels we trust than millions via a system whose founders' activities clash with our values.
Yeah.
It definitely raises the ethical stakes for platform choice.
That moral dimension, yeah, that's what sticks with you. And it brings us back to that Sylvan Esso quote, the aspiration behind it all. They said they were reaching towards the world we all deserve, even though we are not in it yet.
It's a powerful sentiment.
It is. But it also lands us right back at that tricky reality we touched on. When artists make these choices, pulling work, pushing fans to buy vinyl or use Bandcamp, it puts the onus on the listener too, doesn't it?
It asks for more conscious consumption, yeah.
So here's the final thought to leave you with. In a world where, let's be honest, almost every major corporation, every platform we use daily probably has some complex, maybe ethically gray areas if you look closely enough. How practical is it really for you, the listener, the fan, to consistently follow these artists down the path of perfect ethical consumption? How possible is it to truly build that world we all deserve when, as they said, no solution seems perfect? Something to maybe think about next time you hit play.